Blog Talk Radio.
We don't need none of that goddamn "I thought I lost a bitch" or whatever shit. Hey, fellas, I'm just being real. It is crunch time because the October semester is 1 week old. Actually, it's not 1 week old. It's 3 days old. And, of course, I'm not accepting nobody else in for this semester. But next semester, I'm telling you, don't let it get crunch time. You know, next semester is an okay semester for me. But it's Christmas, it's New Year's. There's a lot of shit going on in December. So when that fucking semester for January start, I mean, people be short. They do. That's why I do the shit I do, because I fucks with you. Now, it's that time. It's crunch time, so to say. But it's time for you guys that's slower at making your minds up, or slower at having your money together at once. You need to start saving your money now so that you can enroll at SWU for the January semester. You know, I'm going to have, for the January semester, early registration. It's going to be in November. And actually, I'm going to have early registration for every semester, but that's going to be the second month of each semester. Each semester is 3 months. But why I'm saying this is that this particular one will be the largest reduction, which is going to be half. Otherwise, if you, in the month of November, you sign up, that's pre-registration, that's early registration. And if you sign up in the month of November, it's going to cost you $800 to get, because it costs everybody else $1,500 to get. But those other semesters, I'll give discounts, because it won't be that big. But it will be the second month of every semester. So let me tell you some shit, man. You guys, you know, when you a motherfucker, your name carries recognition. Now, my name has always carried recognition. When I was Soul Man as a teenager, my name Soul Man had recognition. So sometimes that recognition gets the door slammed in your motherfucking face, cause I was gonna tell you some shit. I remember one night I went to the fish market to get some shrimp. It was winter. But it wasn't really cold enough to have my windows up. And I had my windows down, blasting some jazz, and I'm headed to the shrimp joint. Now, as I drove, I saw this bad white bitch in a little sports car. So I kind of sped up to her. And I know when I'm getting action, which is what I'm going to teach you. But what I'm saying is I know when I'm getting action. So even though I really wasn't out to fuck with no bitch, I was just going to get me some shrimp. I just had to fuck with her. Now, I didn't want to, you know, go hard on it, you know, make her pull over, blah, 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 get her to take her home, all that. So I'm just being cool. I lit a joint and I drove on at her speed, and I'm acting like I'm not really paying attention to her because I saw she was paying attention to me. So if she's paying attention to me, my move is to ignore her. All right. So I just stopped at the light, And she pulled up beside me. And I looked over at her and I smiled, you know. And I didn't say shit. But what I'm saying is she kept looking at me. So when I took off, she kept riding beside me. Sort of. Not beside me, but, you know, right next to me. And I looked over at her and she had this big smile. Wide as the Grand Canyon, just smiling at me. Now, I hardly ever can go out without some woman throwing herself at me. I hardly ever go out without that happening. But I'm used to that. So what I'm saying is I motioned her to raise her window down. And when she did, I yelled out to her. If you give me 15 minutes, you might find yourself to be at a point of no return. Now, that's a wide open statement. See, this is how sharp you got to be. That's wide open. Why? Because I don't know this bitch. This bitch in a car in the next lane. I don't know where she's coming from. But when she opened her mouth and responded to me, she don't let me know where she's coming from. So what I'm saying is, she continued to smile broadly, but not really said nothing. And as we drove down the street, we stopped at another light. Now, my window already down, and I already said something to her. Now, I'm going to introduce myself to her. I say, my name is Rosebud. And before I could finish, she said, the pimp? I was going to say something slick to her, but before I could even say something to her, the bitch burnt rubber. She ran the light. She ran the light. True story. Now, back in the day, we used to do what we did because we believed it was the right thing to do in this Abba Dabba. You know, we honestly, I'm telling you, we did not give one red to a dancing bitch. Because we know if real hoes knew we was paying a dancing bitch, they would see that as a weakness in our armor. Now, all the things we did to keep women in line, if that's the case, have been abandoned today. You know, we had different ways we knew to be or act because we didn't want to be disrespected by women. And women did not disrespect you unless you did some punk shit back then. Back then, women really wouldn't dare disrespect a man. Fast forward to the day. Now, I'm honestly asking this question. Oh, what? Okay. Is it important for a woman to see her man as a man like it was in my day? I'm talking about respect for the fact that this motherfucker got two nuts. I'm asking this question. Because I heard a motherfucker say to a broad that he was about this 10. And she told his ass to come down to the club and make it rain. She was a dancer, obviously. But what I'm saying is, in my day, a dancing bitch would never say that shit to us. We wouldn't beat her ass. We'd dog her. And you better not let us know who your fucking man is. Come on, making it rain. But just listen, please. I'm just wondering about that question. Is it important for your woman to see you as a man like it was from, you know, in my day? And what I'm saying is, here's a motherfucking bitch talking about making it rain, talking about a nigga, talking to a nigga about this kitten. See, that is where the imbalance is at. Women want to be seen as women, pretty, whatever, but they want to be respected without showing respect. They think they can be disrespectful toward all men and whatever a man stand for, because that's how it was back in the day when they changed. Because I will admit, men, when it was the shoe was on their foot, men really fucked up as far as equality and people. You know, if you're talking to a woman, she ain't less than you. It back then, men thought that when I was a kid. And back then, if I made a dollar, a woman doing the same shit might make 60 cents. I mean, it was really and truly like that. But if that was wrong, why do bitches think they supposed to do it now? If it was wrong then, it's wrong now. But they can't get over it. They can't get over how men did them, which we did. But I ain't finna be responsible for it. Because what I'm saying is shit. I don't do the shit. I've learned different things. See, I just don't believe that there's a woman alive that can stand it when I get at them serious. Most times, I don't get serious. I just play my hand. But here, let me tell you something. I'll show you some difference. Here's a serious spiel. And I don't care what now one of you motherfucking women that's be listening, because I know you motherfucking bitches be listening to my shit. I don't care what you say. Because I caught this brother. She paid me for 6 years. I rolled all that day, and I can just remember it was a real disappointing day. I didn't fucking get a bite. I put my bid in every fresh opportunity that presented itself, but nothing developed. That kind of shit happens. And it's really no big deal. I know it ain't me. It ain't like I ain't doing what I'm supposed to do to catch. It's this fucking environment I'm in. I'm thinking that. It's this damn environment. This ain't my flavor. I'm talking to myself. I'm making myself get pumped up so I can do some real shit. Because these bitches ain't acting. They're acting as if I ain't even here. These bitches might not even be thinking about me. But I know every motherfucker in the world is thinking about my black ass. And I'm thinking, since these motherfucking bitches ain't paying attention to me, they must be some low-class motherfucking bitches. And these low-class motherfuckers can't recognize shit from sugar. So how I thought they was going to see me is downright silly. So I said to myself, man, you better go upscale. I'm thinking, nigga, rolling Rolls Royce and jewels like motherfucking dress pimp staff. And ain't no motherfucking bitch giving me no action. That's because they don't recognize shit ain't that. I'm saying all this shit to myself. Pumping myself up. Because there's so much shit I know to think now. It's crazy. So I can't see why I'm not getting action. I just see I ain't getting action. Now, I know to see my way out of stupid shit. So I thought to myself, man, I'm going to handle this. Or is this shit going to handle me? Otherwise, if you're in a fucked up environment and you don't make adjustments, that environment is going to handle you instead of you handling the environment. Who wants to handle being in a fucked up environment? You got to leave it. So I go to a little joint that I know named Dino's. It's in Beverly Hills, and I sat in the booth. Now, the waitress, the young, fine, motherfucking Peckerwood bitch, came up to me and asked, what do you have? And I'm going through all this shit, so I'm thinking to myself, man, I'm a motherfucking pimp. And this bitch asking me, what the hell will I have? Now, I'm thinking all this shit before I answer this bitch about what I'll have. But I'm doing it in a nanosecond. So I decided to show her what I would have in this swank ass place. And yes, this is why I came upscale. These bitches make you think. My mind, now this is in a nanosecond. A nanosecond. There's 1,000 nanoseconds in 1 second. But my mind thought of this in a nanosecond. And just that quick, I came up with a way to make her see me as a motherfucker who is the most different motherfucker she ever seen in her life. And I know she didn't see it at all because she a waitress. I got busy, so I smiled and I said, I think I'll have you in every way possible, except I would prefer it shaken, not stirred. She looked at me and for a moment didn't say shit. You know, but me being a mind reader, I knew I had blew her mind just then, so I said, I know, young lady, you thought you had heard it all. Silly you. That's just how young you are. Live a little while and enjoy the things I have, and you'll learn what you think is what you're about to learn. That is if you're investigating me. Man, when I asked her, you down for that? She said, I get off at 2. She said, who are you? And, you know, she was astonished at my spiel because I was a suave jewel. Just Rolls Royce parked right out front on Sunset. I said, why, young lady, do you not realize I'm your deepest fantasy materialized in the form you deemed most pleasing for you visually and most stimulating for you mentally? Young lady, allow me to introduce myself to you. Meet your desires. Man! I reached and shook that bitch hand and I damn near had to remind that bitch that she was supposed to go get my drink. That woman did not stand a chance with me because I drive a diesel truck with no fucking lights. And what makes that so dope is I drive exclusively at night. In the dark when there's no moon. Because I'm a real motherfucker. And I show it. I've always had a flawless conversation. And when women get wrapped up in, you know, how I deliver my words and what I'm saying, as this woman it was, I know I'm having them. And this is because I know how to use my persona. I know how to use what I represent to my advantage. But all of this comes from you knowing who the fuck you are. Man, I know I'm having baby because I know how to just take advantage of who I am. Male confidence that I give up will show you all this stuff. It will, as we are going through the semester, you're going to be doing assignments that show you what I'm telling you works. Show you what I'm telling you is true. And the cold part about it, you can do it. I ain't telling you can do it like me because you ain't me. You can do it like you, but it'll work like it works for me. People don't truly understand how dope that is. I have motherfuckers who you know, kind of was with me in the beginning of my quest to get people to get this confidence. And, you know, this is, and I must say, I am bragging when I say this. But this is something from my very first alumni who to this day will not be denied being the first to get whatever the hell I'm putting out. And this is because he believed and still do believe in what I do. But this guy fucked with me about 7 years ago. I asked his thoughts on 2.0, part two, and this was his response. He said, "Bud, I'm gonna pick it up again." But seriously, I had to put it down. I had to put that shit down in 5 minutes. In 5 minutes yesterday, I made a notebook and titled it Positive Notes, and it already has 16 positive experiences that I remember about the day with Linda. This shit is priceless, man. I'll get back to you, man. Best ever. Can't believe it. This good. See, I cream on that kind of shit. Because I just feel my alumni and I direct my course towards what works. I listen to them. And how I'm delivering the message, they let me know from what they say if it's clear or not. Because a lot of times, people just don't understand. See, this alumni above all else is feeling how it feels to kick it with a peer. And when he is in awe of this peer he's kicking it with, he becomes in awe of himself. Period. That's why you gotta learn how to kick it. Kick it means something. It's not, "Oh, I'm just out here kicking it." No, it ain't that bullshit. Kick it means something. I think, and this is my opinion, I think this motherfucker, this student I'm talking about, is seriously enjoying being able to understand what he and I be speaking about. And it's because of his advancement. He used to just listen to me and be awed by all the shit I'm saying. Now he has actual comments coming from him about whatever I'm talking about. That is not stupid. That we keep conversing, not I stop and check in and woo woo woo. What I'm saying is we have real conversation. Can you imagine how that motherfucker feel? I just believe he sees so much of what we have discussed going on in his everyday life. He's just astounded that I could still come up with more new shit to kick it with him. Everybody want to have it, but very few will work to get it. I'm going to tell you about some shit right now. This is a little different than what I was just talking about, but it is the same thing. White people are really weird. Now, I'm 70 years old. Think back 70 years. That's in like 1950. So, you wonder what the hell was it like in 1950. See, white people, all they cared about was what made black people so resilient back then. Although they hated black people. And white people, because a nigga would become a soul. "Yeah, I got a soul, motherfucker. I got a soul, this soul, that." And then you know white people, they say, "God damn, what is soul?" And when they was to ask the nigga, Sammy Davis Jr. Or James Brown or anybody old like that black, they would say, "It's in my feet. It's in my hands, it's in my thoughts, it's in my arms. You know, I got it." And it's just, they never, never really explained what soul was. So white people could only imagine soul being this great thing that's making black people what they are, the threat that we were to them back then. Now, as time goes by, the 60s come. You know the Beatles and all them motherfuckers get over here and all this. They ain't got nothing to do with soul. Soul been going on all the time. But everybody want to know what it is. And I think it was Dave Clark 5. somebody came out with a record that really sounded soulful, but it was white boys. No, the average white band, no, I don't know. Anyway, they came out with that shit sounding black as a motherfucker. And now, Dick Clark or whoever, you know, American Bandstand, they get these motherfuckers on and they want to know, how do you sound like that? How do you make it? And they identified it. They defined it to white people. Soul was because we had soul because musically we move on the second and the fourth beat. White people musically move on the first and the third beat. That's why back in the day, American Bandstand and Soul Train was two distinctly different shows because American Bandstand had the white boys dancing like white boys and Soul Train had the niggas dancing like niggas. But once they realized the second and the fourth beat, they motherfucking, I'm telling you, the shit changed. So I think, and this is my opinion, you know, I ain't saying that that's how white people operate. I just know everybody wants it, but few will work to get it. But what I'm saying is, once they defined it, let me say this. If you let a white person define anything, they're going to steal it. They're going to take it, and they're going to make it whatever the fuck they think of it. Now, in the 60s, all they wanted to know was what the hell was soul. And we would try to explain, you know, it's how we think, blah, blah, blah. But what soul did was the reason why people thought we were stronger, we was faster, we was all this stuff. And they just was afraid of us. They never understood what soul was. Soul was the result of being enslaved and forced to think in a certain compact way. And your movements and your fucking choice of words and how you look all conveyed a particular message. And we just walked around with all this shit hidden because we don't want to expose it. Because white people, not only will they steal it, they'll kill you for it. So what I'm saying is once they understood that shit, that it's in our movement, you know, the second and the fourth beat, they stole it. Now listen to this. Like I said, in the old days, you could see extreme differences in how people dance, especially if you look at American Bandstand, Dick Clark, and Soul Train with Don Cornelius. And once they defined what soul is, the very first thing they invented was blue-eyed soul. Blue-eyed soul. Come on. Disco, wait a minute, hold on. Blue-eyed soul, yeah. Disco music is electronically made music. And putting the emphasis on the second and the fourth beat to make it feel like soul music. But it still didn't truly sound like soul music. It had that white sound, both of them did. Now, when they invented disco, and they pumped all that disco shit, that was because the Peckinpahs got the money. Now, we call this shit disco. Then we eliminating the word souls, except for niggas. Niggas know to go over to these clubs if you want to hear this music. You go over to those clubs if you want to hear that other music. My point to you is everything is all white people at this point. Now, when the white artists started using black backup singers and black musicians, the whole music scene changed. Now, white people had their foot in the door, and the robbery was in full force. Today, there is no soul music. There is no category for black people music. There is blues, but there ain't no black motherfucker that's, you know, winning the war. It's all white people. The white rappers are winning. Mark Wahlberg and whoever, those rappers, you see where they at. But I'm saying, come on. I guess I could look at Ice Cube and whoever else, Ice-T. I mean, those are rappers that's, you know, in the mix now for real. But white people stole blues. They stole soul. And just about every category of music there is. And black people have slowly been taken by this fake bullshit and starting to actually believe the shit they're hearing is real music. We have nothing of our own. Nothing that's really black-based. Even soul singers are fake now. A real black singer don't, you know, have to get into a song fake like they into this song. They get to singing it, and the next thing you know, they moving and it's coming out of their soul. We used to be so into a song that, you know, our body and our mind would take over and the words and the music would just be there. But we would be wrapped up. Today, even black singers try to sound like they have soul. I mean, Luther Vandross, used to do that shit and it was real. But you got a lot of motherfuckers doing that shit that's fake. Every white person that do it is fake. There's going to always be white people who have to try to have soul. But black people should know they automatically have it. But we're losing that. We're losing that. Now, white people even have you and me trying to be black. Now, do you want to tell me white people ain't slick? That's why my confidence library is so immense. I got over 1,000 articles that I've written on the idea of real confidence. I have about 350 shows in my archives and around 90 fucking interviews. And I keep that shit to remind me of how much I still have to do. I look at all that effort and I tell myself, well, Bud, you still have about twice as much shit to do. Every kind of worry, every kind of hope I have experienced. And I ain't done yet. I'm going to be blessed to see the greatest experience of all. And that's going to be a day when all the motherfuckers that's been listening to me for all these years, we're all able to talk and stand on our necks. We'll all be standing full weight on our nuts. I live for that day that all of us are real men. Man, what kind of conversation will that be? You know, so it's in my walk because I got it. It's in the way I smile because I know I got it. It's in the way I motherfucking, the words come out of my goddamn mouth because I got it. It's in the way people that I greet hear it because I got it. It's in everything I do, the way I eat, sleep, walk, talk, dream, and how I feel about being confident. I got it. I'm saying it's in me. It ain't on me. I told you many years ago, once I start, I'm going to be showing you things about confidence and manhood for the next 10 years straight. And it's been 15. Confidence is not something you can hear about and learn in a year or two. The confidence you gain from Sidewalk University will not be the same confidence that you learn once you are actually using what you learned at Sidewalk University. Sidewalk University just introduces you to confidence. The more you use it, the more of it you'll have. But you got to learn how to recognize it and see it so that you can use it. That's all I do. You still have a lot of work. Hey, private number, I see you there. I'm going to take you, but I hope you ain't no full of shit. What's up?
What's up, bud? Fucking Celine Dion's a trick-ass bitch. I like the OJs. I like the Marcells. I like the Flamingos. Shabop-a-bop. I like fucking...
What's your question, bro?
Did you ever go to Eddy Street, San Francisco, Polyester to pull bitches back in the day? I heard that club was
back
great
in the day. I was on Eddy Street quite a bit, man. But let me tell you, I didn't go to none of that shit over there because the motherfuckers, you know, had a lot of different kind of people in there. I ain't into the gay shit.
No. I heard that the original Joe's was a spot back in the day for my uncle. So I thought I better ask Bud what's up. That's all I got. But I fucking hate this white music shit. I like the Flamingos and I like the soul, baby.
All right, brother man. Thanks. Hey, now check game. I've really and truly been doing this a while. And I have a handle on what I'm actually doing. So, even though as I do it, motherfuckers think different things about what I'm doing, I talk about so many different things. A couple of days ago, I spoke about my lifelong friends. Today, I probably think it's only proper to speak about all of you young motherfuckers who be fucking with me with updates on what you're doing. And I speak to so many of you cats, you know, and some, not their ladies, but ladies too. I speak to ladies. And everybody is learning whatever it is to learn. But what I'm saying is, these motherfuckers be having legitimate problems that need to be dealt with. They all ask my opinion. In all cases, of course, I make suggestions that's going to possibly enhance their abilities to deal with their situation. Now, one young man in particular, I'm thinking about has a problem with approaching or speaking with women, and I thought this was right up my alley. I shot my confidence bill to him, and he thanked me. And I really didn't think he was going to do what I suggested, but he did. About a week or two or whatever later, I got an IM from him, and he told me, you know, what I told him, I helped him to be more confident in thinking he can speak with women, but it didn't actually stop him from having a complex about the problem he had in his past. And from you had your past and tripping about speaking with women, maybe two different things. So we spoke. And he explained he had a mental issue in the past, and he was coming off a 10-year depression. His depression stemmed from a failed relationship that he had, that he felt it shouldn't have failed. And he blamed himself because he was caught cheating on his woman for 4 years. Now, he didn't really get caught. His woman had suspicions and asked him if he was seeing anyone on the side, and he told her he was. I told him my true feelings on the matter. I told that motherfucker if it was me and I did something like that, unless my woman caught me in the bed with my Johnson inside that woman, I ain't no way I'm going to admit no shit like that to her. Now, I know most of you motherfuckers think differently about this, but my position is this. If I cheat, I'm the one that's supposed to suffer. Now, if I cheat, and that's a big if, but if I did, I would be the one who should have to suffer the consequences, whatever they would be. Under no circumstances will I bring my woman into it and crush her trust and belief in me. I mean, I seriously don't feel coming clean in that situation is the best thing to do. There would be irreparable damage caused by that confession, and the hurt that you put on your woman was devastating. So I told him the truth. I said, man, you need to forgive about her, because she's not going to forgive you for cheating. And more than that, she's not going to forgive you for telling her the truth. Most people believe telling the truth in any matter is the best option. But I say, if the truth gonna destroy my relationship, I ain't telling. Period. I ain't. My best option would be to thank God I got away with it and I never do it again. See, none of us should cheat. But if you didn't, then it's killing you. That's what the fuck you get for cheating. You motherfucker, what the fuck you think you can do? Cheat and not feel it? If it's killing you, die your death alone and do not bring your faithful woman or your faithful man down with you. It serves only one purpose when you do confess something of this nature, and that it's going to destroy your relationship. I don't know any woman or man who would accept a spouse cheating, but I know hundreds, if not thousands of friends who are with their mates over 30 years, and one of them had an affair 20 or 25 years ago. One of them cheated 20 or 25 years ago. I'm not condoning cheating. I'm supporting lasting relationships. People make mistakes, and they can be corrected. But once you lose the respect of and trust of your mate, it's over. You'll be one lucky motherfucker if you can get it back. The best thing to do is not cheat. Stay true to who's true to you. That's it for me today. Hey, I got more shit for you this week, so stay with me.